Exposing the changing worldviews behind the issues that are fundamentally changing our nation and world, the Sharon Hughes Show starts now.
America is back.
U.S. President Joe Biden vowed to end transactional diplomacy and promote democracy over autocracies, a stark contrast to the foreign policy of his predecessor, Donald Trump.
American taxpayers, you will go on subsidizing Europe's defense without them paying their fair share.
But he said there are certain areas that Russia shouldn't attack. I guess saying certain areas they can. At the end of the day, we need to be able to push back very clearly to Russia and to say to Putin, no, we're off limits. And yes, we're going to hold you accountable and be able to push back and not give them a do not touch list, but a wink, wink, nod, nod. You can attack these other areas.
Now, this is going to be difficult for some who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, as many evangelicals do. But in a pluralistic society, we have no choice. Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality. It involves compromise.
The God of the Bible is simply no longer holding the conscience of this society. And this has been going on intentionally on the part of many, unintentionally on the part of millions. But it's now gone so far that that binding authority is breaking down. We can see it breaking down right now in the cities of America.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. I appreciate you because I know that if you're tuning into this show, you care. You care about our nation. You care about families. You care about those things that are destroying families, destroying our nation, destroying our world. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to talk more about the three roots that destroy a nation. We've mentioned these before: secularism, humanism, and pluralism. How do they get planted, if you will, in a nation, and watered and harvested? And most importantly, what is the fruit of each? But first, just a quick look at Joe Biden's participation in G7 meetings this week. And then, three roots tearing America apart.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
Before we look at what's going on in the nation, we want to take a look at what's going on around the world. First of all, you're not hearing much about what's going on in Israel. But since Netanyahu is no longer the prime minister, nations are urging the new Israel government to ease off of Palestinians. Now, if you recall, under Donald Trump, there were the Abraham Accords, and those that agreed to them, those Arab partners, so to speak, are hoping, they say, to be able to build on them. However, fresh violence is flaring up with Palestinians in East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. Not good. Personally, I do not believe, under current administrations, both here at home and in Israel, that the progress that was made under the Trump administration in Israel will continue. Here at home, the Dow dropped 500 points in the worst week since last October. And speaking for the Fed, Jim Bullard insinuated that inflation could stick around through next year and force the Fed to raise interest rates. And of course, all of this happened following Joe Biden's tour for the G7. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I also wanted to let you know that there was a conservative meeting of which many conservative leaders spoke at, including the former Vice President Mike Pence. However, he received boos because of the actions that he took regarding the January 6th event at the state capitol. Well, beyond that, there are those who are speculating that Mike Pence is one of several Republicans making the kind of moves that one does when they're exploring a presidential run. He's actually started a political committee called Advancing American Freedom, promoting the policies of the Trump-Pence administration. It has run web ads featuring Pence on issues such as border security. And he is also writing an autobiography scheduled to be published in 2023, a year before the next presidential election. So that's interesting. But let's look now to Joe Biden, who obviously participated in the G7 meetings. And I want to ask you, this is something that he said. Do you agree with this worldview? Because we care about worldviews here on Changing Worldviews, because worldviews matter. Thoughts have consequences. So do you agree with this worldview of Joe Biden? Something he said at the G7 meeting, quote, "You know, we had a president last who basically said, not a problem, global warming," talking about Trump. But Joe Biden went on to say, "Global warming is the existential problem facing humanity." Again, quoting, and it's been treated that way. "So we're going to provide up to $2 billion, we meaning America, $2 billion with a B, $2 billion to support developing countries as they transition away from unabated coal-fired power," unquote. Well, Nigel Farage, the former Brexit Party leader, commented on Biden's participation at the G7 in Cornwall, the UK. Here's what he had to say.
"Let me say this. US presidents visiting the UK is normally a very big deal. You know, it's something that enervates people, that gets talked about. Biden's visit to the UK, I don't think most people even knew that he was here, because he said nothing of substance whatsoever. All that he did was agree with the Merkel, Macron, and sadly to a large extent Boris Johnson agenda, that they're global warmists, they're welfarists, they're globalists, and he literally made no impression upon this country at all. And I've never seen that before. After that, and before the Putin meeting, he went to NATO, to the headquarters in Brussels, and Donald Trump quite rightly called out NATO, because it's been around for 70 years, but the rules of the club are very clear. Everybody must pay 2% of GDP into defence. And of course, the Germans and the French are paying about half of that. Trump did, actually, by causing a scene when he went to NATO, he did manage to get some increased contributions. Biden turned up and said, isn't everything wonderful? So American taxpayers watching this, you will go on subsidizing Europe's defense without them paying their fair share. So that, I thought, was humiliating.
Well, we're going to be hearing more about all of that, the G7. But more importantly, we need to be looking into the things that Biden vowed, such as the $2 billion for global warming. What else did he do that affects us, our nation? There's a great documentary by the late Dr. Michael Kaufman, who we had on the show several times, called Global Warming or Global Governance. This is something that you can find online, and I encourage you to take the time to hear what Dr. Kaufman has to say. This is a man who knows what he's talking about. This documentary, Global Warming or Global Governance, is key to understanding the push on the global warming subject and why Joe Biden would pledge $2 billion to other countries regarding this issue. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, the three roots that destroy a nation, how do they get planted? Who waters them? And most importantly, what is the fruit of these roots? And then we will wrap up today's show with our Father's Day special. Stay with me.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with your host, Sharon Hughes. From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
Children's TV programs have incorporated the teachings of the radical LGBTQ into their younger viewers' cartoon shows, leaving many parents in shock. Many, quote, pride-supporting television channels include lessons on transgenderism, sex, non-binaries, homosexuality, and drag queens. Folks, this indoctrination causes more harm than good as young children are pushed into confusion concerning their own sexuality. PGI urges parents to be aware. Visit pji.org to download our free resource, What Parents Need to Know About the LGBTQ History.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org. Remember the website, pji.org.
My name is Ron from Smithton, Missouri. I've had a lot of digestive problems all my life. Got on the AlloApex within a week to 10 days time. I started noticing a tremendous difference, and suddenly I could begin to digest foods. And I would very much encourage anyone, if they have given a thought to trying this product, to absolutely do so. This stuff has a tremendous healing effect. God bless you all.
If you go to apexhealth.live/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles of AlloApex at a special introductory price. Just click on order now and use the promo code Sharon Special, or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes.
Well, it seems today that everywhere we look, we are faced with tremendous challenges. Of course, it's no secret we have gone through a horrific ordeal both last year with the outbreak of COVID-19 as well as the outbreak of riots and everything that followed that in our nation, as well as an extremely upsetting election season. And now a new administration that, depending on your worldview, is either good or not so good. We definitely are in the middle of a worldview battle, and thoughts matter. They really do. Ideas have consequences. John Adams said, because power corrupts, society's demands for moral authority and character increase as the importance of the position increases. But is our society today demanding moral authority and character in the positions of our leadership? More and more, it seems like it doesn't matter, at least to some, but I believe the majority still hold those values. How much of those policies that are in place or are being put in place are moral, are coming from a place of integrity and character? Well, on the world scene, our foreign relations, U.S. allies, appear to be welcoming Biden's aggressive multilateralism. According to the BBC, during the G7 foreign ministers meeting in Britain this week, State Department officials showered the BBC with, quote, C words to describe the atmosphere. The phrases they heard throughout the day were about coherence and collaboration and cooperation. And another C word, consensus and convergence. So those who are for those things and understand how those things are being used to transform America and the world, well, they thought that the G7 meeting went well. After all, why wouldn't they? I mean, what better platform, the BBC asks, than a gathering of the world's richest democracies to showcase the core of Joe Biden's foreign policy, which is an aggressive multilateralism with like-minded countries, they say, to combat global threats such as pandemics and climate change.
America is back. Our partnerships have endured and grown through the years, because they are rooted in the richness of our shared democratic values. They're not transactional, but the United States is determined to re-engage with Europe.
And Biden came to play, announcing a $4 billion pledge of support for global coronavirus vaccination efforts, showcasing a nearly $2 trillion spending measure that could bolster both the U.S. and global economies, and re-entering the U.S. into the Paris Climate Accord.
We have to rapidly accelerate our commitments to aggressively curb our emissions and to hold one another accountable.
Biden on Friday first joined G7 leaders from Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Canada, and Japan by video conference hosted by British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
We know that the Biden administration is diametrically opposite of a Trump administration. Donald Trump had America sign off of the World Health Organization. Joe Biden has returned to the World Health Organization and also is making climate change a priority by rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, which Trump pulled America out of. Donald Trump was promoting fossil fuels and rolled back environmental climate regulations, made America energy independent for the first time. You followed it all. And another international accord that President Trump abandoned, but Biden is signing on to again, and that's the deal that gave Iran sanctions relief in exchange for scaling down its nuclear program, which, of course, we know from reports that that hasn't happened. Okay, foreign relations for America. Well, how about here at home? I got an email from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis saying this. Prior to Joe Biden's administration, when a convicted criminal illegal alien was released from prison, ICE would send them back to their home country. Now, under Biden, convicted criminal illegal immigrants are no longer being deported. They're being released back into our communities. As Biden dismantles the Trump border policies, the situation on our southern border has developed into a huge catastrophe with national consequences. And Ron DeSantis points out that many GOP leaders, including himself, are filing suit against Biden's administration to protect our communities from their reckless policy, which he says is a no-brainer.
This is a layup. You have somebody who's in the country illegally. They get convicted of a felony. They're in our prison system. They serve their sentence, maybe for drug trafficking, maybe for armed robbery, maybe for sex abuse, maybe for some type of homicide. And the job of the federal government is to receive them and remove them. If you can't do that, then you're just failing at the basic functions of government. And so we, as Sheriff Ivey said, this was working in Florida in partnership. When they're taking away these detainers and they're not accepting responsibility for convicted criminal aliens, that puts our communities at risk. It's something that we are going to fight. We're in court. We're doing some of the policies that I talked about today, and we're going to continue keeping the fight up, because if you don't follow the law, if you do release like they're doing now, you end up, what are you going to tell the next family? Oh, yeah, you know, had we just followed the law and done the removal, then this wouldn't have happened to you. Our bad. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work that way. You cannot unring those bells. So this is probably one of the easiest things to get right. If you just follow the law, if you work to get convicted criminal aliens out, the community is going to be safer.
Now, I don't know if that's the main issue for you here in our nation, but it certainly is a top issue that a majority of Americans are concerned about. Well, what about the culture? I mean, when we think about culture, we think about how it's affecting families, right? Well, you're familiar with the Pew Research. You're familiar with Barna. You're familiar with Gallup. Maybe not so familiar with the American Perspectives Survey. So since we are wanting to expose even further the three roots that are tearing our nation apart, and I've mentioned this, those three roots are secularism, humanism, and pluralism, which basically secularism is that there is no God and wants complete separation between church and state. Humanism puts man in the center as God, and pluralism believes there are many gods. So how much has secularism, which by definition is the indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion and religious considerations, affected America? According to the American Perspectives Survey, there is a decline of religion in American family life. They point out that there are significant differences in the religious upbringing of Americans across generations. Young adults from 18 to 29 years old are far more likely to have been raised without religion than are seniors 65 and older. And that roughly 1 in 5, or 22% of young adults, report that they were not raised in any particular religion and have always been religiously unaffiliated, which is nearly as large as those who have left religion to become, quote, unaffiliated. So not raised in a religion, not been affiliated with any religion, or having left religion is a huge chunk of the younger generation, which basically means they have left or have never held a belief in God. Therefore, have a secularist worldview. And if we want to understand what happened, for instance, last year with all the rioting and looting and everything that happened, if we want to understand why it appears that our culture is falling apart, I think that secularism plays into it. Secularism is the principle of seeking to conduct human affairs based on secular and naturalistic considerations. It's most commonly known and defined as a separation of religion from civic affairs and state, and we are seeing the increase of that right here in America that was based on religious convictions of the Judeo-Christian worldview. Well, Matt Slick, writing on social justice, secularism, and Christianity, said this: when people deny the truth of God's existence, they must fill the intellectual and spiritual vacuum with something else. And that something is subjective, secular, moral relativism. In other words, there are no absolutes. And he goes on to say that since our culture is becoming more secular, it means that proper social behavior and structures, etc., are increasingly based on secular, anti-Christian thought. The result is an ungodly invasion into all areas of life with the ultimate end, he says, of denouncing Christianity and penalizing its followers. Just a few examples. A Christian doctor of 30 years lost his job for refusing to use transgender patient's preferred pronoun. Supreme Court rejected a case of a Christian teen who was forced to write an Islamic conversion prayer. Drag queens sponsored Planned Parenthood fundraisers with performances attacking local pastors, and on and on. I agree with Matt Slick that we are in a battle for our country's moral and even spiritual fabric, and the secular social justice warriors are gaining ground everywhere. Well, we have to take a break, and when we get back, my guest joins me.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, celebrating 18 years, getting to the heart of the issues and the worldviews behind them.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Well, every month here at Changing Worldviews, we have a special offer, and this month's offer is the book and two-part interview on CD, Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, A Former Hitler Youth Warns America. It's by the late Hilmar von Kamp, who said, "What I saw in Germany, I see today in America." So the book and the CD of my two-part interview with him is yours for $25, and to order it, just send your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. Again, Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. Or order it online at changingworldviews.com. Here's some of what you can expect.
Karl Marx, who's the father of socialism, right? I mean, he said his main purpose in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. And in Nazi Germany, that was National Socialism as well.
Absolutely. It's the same. The communism, socialism, National Socialism, they are all from the same root. And they are godless. Normally, when you think of the Nazis and the war, you look to the criminals. But the really responsible people for what is happening or was happening are the appeasers, the bystanders, who don't want to risk anything and look in the other direction.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
And we are investigating and reporting on what I believe are three roots that are tearing our nation apart politically, educationally, culturally, and on and on. And those three roots are secularism, humanism, and pluralism. Secularism, again, is just an indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion and religious considerations, wanting everything to be from a secular point of view. Humanism is a philosophy that's viewed as a non-theistic religion. In other words, doesn't have anything to do with God, and it's antagonistic to traditional religion and puts man at the center as his own God. So, a former president said this before he was president, and I am sure you will recognize his voice talking about this.
Democracy demands that the religiously motivated translate their concerns into universal rather than religion-specific values. What do I mean by this? It requires that their proposals be subject to argument and amenable to reason. Now, I may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons, to take one example, but if I seek to pass a law banning the practice, I can't simply point to the teachings of my church or evoke God's will. I have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths, including those with no faith at all. Now, this is going to be difficult for some who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, as many evangelicals do. But in a pluralistic society, we have no choice. Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality. It involves compromise, the art of what's possible. And at some fundamental level, religion doesn't allow for compromise. It's the art of the impossible. If God's spoken, then followers are expected to live up to God's edicts, regardless of the consequences. Now, to base one's own life on such uncompromising commitments may be sublime, but to base our policy making on such commitments would be a dangerous thing. And so the best we can do is act in accordance with those things that we all see and that we all hear, be it common laws or basic reason.
So to a secularist or a humanist or a pluralist, they would say that Barack Obama's comments seem reasonable, make sense, agree with that. But to those who believe that there is a living God who created the universe, who gave us an owner's manual, if you will, the Bible, of how to live the best life, free from bondage, free from addiction, free from abuse, free from everything that, well, Jesus died for on the cross. And so, in order to have a secular culture, you have to do something about those that hold to the Judeo-Christian belief system that this nation was founded on. Albert Mohler, author of The Gathering Storm, addresses that issue.
We see a declining influence and authority of theistic belief in general, even just belief in God as a controlling belief in society. So the binding authority of the God of the Bible is simply no longer holding the conscience of this society. And this has been going on intentionally on the part of many, unintentionally on the part of millions. But it's now gone so far that that binding authority is breaking down. We can see it breaking down right now in the cities of America. We're going to find ourselves more and more on the margin of society. We certainly see Orthodox Christianity right now seen as a problem by the cultural elite. So that what we believe is what they believe they had to overcome in order to liberate humanity. And I think the cost, the social cost that Christians, biblical Christians, will pay will be higher and higher. But I also think we're going to see increased hostility from the government.
We are constantly fed through the mainstream media and cultural institutions one worldview. We need to make sure that we're hearing the truth so that our worldview will not be shaped in any way to that which will lead us as individuals and our nation down a path that can be destructive. America is changing. The world is changing. But it's sad when it's your own nation. We will talk more about the effects of the roots of secularism and humanism and pluralism and how they have gotten embedded in our nation, have grown up, and are bearing fruit that is completely opposite of the America that most of us grew up in. So I hope that you won't miss one show because we are going to continue to dig in, investigate, do whatever we can to expose the roots of what is tearing our nation apart. Ecclesiastes 3:10 says there is a time for planting and a time for uprooting. That time is now. And until I see you next time on the radio, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.